We're in Deuteronomy. So if you haven't been here on Sunday nights, what we do with Deuteronomy is the same thing we do on Sunday mornings. We work through a passage of Scripture. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 11 tonight, starting in verse 10. We've been in Deuteronomy for about a year now on Sunday nights, so it's going to take us a while. This was Deuteronomy. If there was a favorite book of Jesus, if you could tell by how often he quoted it, Deuteronomy is his favorite. It's the book that Jesus quotes the most. And so what Deuteronomy is mostly is a series, it's a sermon series. It's three messages from Moses to the people of Israel as they get ready to cross the Jordan and to go into the Promised Land. And it's about what they need to know as they go into the Promised Land. So each week we do a quick review, and so I'm going to do that right now. Last week we were in the first nine verses of Deuteronomy, and it started out this way. You shall therefore love the Lord your God, and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments always. So this verse kind of captures everything that Moses has been teaching on since Deuteronomy chapter 6, which is you shall love the Lord with all your God, or with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. So he's rephrasing that, you could say. And he teaches, Moses teaches the people, first of all, you should love him because of who he is. You should love him because of the great things that he has done for you. And then last week he introduced something else. Another reason that you should love the Lord and keep his commandments is this. Consider the discipline of the Lord your God. So Moses goes on to give three examples of what he means by the discipline of the Lord. So that's what you have in the first few verses of Deuteronomy chapter 11. And then it closes off this way, and I'll read the last couple of verses because they tie right in with where we will pick up tonight. So Moses concludes with this. You shall therefore keep the whole commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That one. And then he adds further grounds for why we should do that. That you may be strong and go in and take possession of the land that you are going over to possess. That's the first reason. The second reason. That you may live long in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them and to their offspring, a land flowing with milk and honey. So it's a good land, and that's right where we're going to pick it up in the next 10 verses. So for scripture reading, we'll read right through this, and then we'll come back and talk about it. For the land that you are entering to take possession of is not like the land of Egypt, from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and irrigated it, like a garden of vegetables. But the land that you are going over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water by rain from heaven, and land that the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And if you will indeed obey my commandments that I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, he will give the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the later rain, that you may gather in your grain and your wine and your oil, and he will give grass in your fields for your livestock, that you may eat and be full. Take care, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will shut up the heavens, so that there will be no rain, and the land will yield no fruit, and you will perish quickly off the good land that the Lord is giving you. You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you're sitting in your house, and when you're walking by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. That was great. You guys that went to Apex, and I can see that most of you would agree with Pastor Tanner when he said that those kids capture your heart. Capture your heart. So I know that the missions committee met with Pastor Luther today, and Barry leads that, and Barry has somebody who has a heart for missions. And when I came on staff and was on the missions committee at that time, and one time early on, Barry said, "You know, I just want to know where your heart is. Tell me what you think about this. Tell me where you think about missions." Well, in these verses, Moses refers to your heart three times. And tonight, we're going to have questions related to those three references. They're questions for your heart. And so, we will get started. For the land that you are entering to take possession of is not like the land of Egypt from which you've come, where you sowed your seed and irrigated it like a garden of vegetables. So, irrigated it, I put that in yellow. That's because the ESV has really kind of smoothed this over. And here's something you don't hear every day. The New International Version, the NIV, has a more literal translation, which is this: and irrigated it by foot. So I'm sure the reason that the ESV kind of smoothed over that is because nobody really knows what it means. Does it mean that you make channels with your foot to irrigate the land? Because in Egypt, it's flat, and most of the water comes from the Nile River, and they have canals all through there. And so do you do that? Or do you open one of those canals with your feet? Or do you have to carry water on foot? One of those things, but they really don't know. And one of the suggestions is, no, if you do it with your foot, that just means you're working hard. And so you irrigated it by hard work. So even though Israel and Egypt are pretty close together, they're much different in climate. There's almost no rain in Egypt. They don't get the water. They don't get water from rain. They get very little rain. They get their water from the Nile, and the Nile is flowing down from actually snow-covered places in Ethiopia and through rivers in Ethiopia and South Sudan from the weather that happens there. That's where they get their water. So you think of that in Genesis when the people of Israel, early people of Israel, Abraham, when they have a famine in the land, what do they have to do? They go to Egypt, to a land with no rain, to get food. So watering with the Nile was more dependable than watering by rain, but it was hard work, and it took real human effort. But the land that Israel was going to was not like that. But the land that you are going over to possess is a land of hills and valley, which drinks water by rain from heaven. The promised land wasn't like that. There's no Nile in the promised land. There are hills and valleys. You couldn't irrigate it if you wanted it to. So in most of Israel, that's the way it is. There's no irrigation in most of Israel. There can't be irrigation. It's not like that. Instead, the promised land is a land that the Lord your God cares for. It doesn't mean here that he doesn't care for all the land in the world. He certainly cares for all the land in the world. But this is different. The promised land is different. It's special to him. And it's special to him because he has it reserved for his people. He seeks it. That's what it really says in Hebrew. Seeks it with the idea that he's going to use it for good. He cares for it. It's different from every other place on earth, and he designed it especially for you. That's what Moses tells the people. It's for you. God promised it to you. God promised it to your ancestors because he cares for you. And the eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it. From the beginning of the year to the end of the year, it's the Lord's land, and that's where you are going. And if you will indeed obey my commandments that I command you today. So which commandments is he talking about? Well, you could summarize it this way. To love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So you could translate it this way. And if you will indeed obey my commandments that I command you today by loving the Lord your God and by serving him with all your heart and with all your soul. So this is the first of the three times where Moses says, your heart. Where he refers to your heart. And we're going to have a question about that in a few minutes. But notice and pay special attention to this. This is conditional. And if you will indeed obey my commandments that I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So the Lord God cares for this land. His eyes are on it all year long. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. He never looks the other way. His eye is always on it. It's a special land. And if you will indeed obey my commandments, he will give the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the later rain, that you may gather in your grain and your wine and your oil. And he will give grass in your fields for your livestock, and you shall eat and be full. It's the Lord's land. And he will bless you if you love him. If you love him and serve him with all your heart and soul. So the question is, do you love the Lord and serve him with all your heart? So it might seem like, maybe you think that's an easy question to answer. Maybe you think it's a really hard question to answer. You hear things like, well, I know she really loves the Lord. I know he really loves the Lord. You might have said, I really love the Lord. But do you love the Lord with all your heart? And how do you know? That might seem like a question that is hard to answer, but really, biblically, It's a very easy question to answer. Biblically, it's not a hard question at all to answer. 2 weeks ago, we were in Deuteronomy 10, verses 12, and in verse 12 and 13 it says this: "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God and walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." And what does that mean? "And to keep the commandments and the statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good." That's almost exactly what, remember what I said about Jesus in Deuteronomy. Jesus says this in John 14, 15. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So do you love the Lord your God with all your heart? Do you do that? He will give the rain on your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, if you will indeed obey his commandments. This land is better than Egypt. You don't have to work for the water. It's better than Egypt if you obey. So, if you're reading a different version besides ESV and New American Standard, you might not have this, "he will give." You might have, "I will give." King James does that. NIV does that. They're taking their translation from the Septuagint. The ESV and NAU are, New American Standard are, but the King James and NIV are taking it from the Hebrew. It's more literal, more literally that way, which is Moses is speaking from for God. So he'll give you the rain. So what does this mean, this early rain and later rain? Well, Israel has a reputation from being dry. If you've seen pictures of Israel, parts of it look just parched. But really they don't get, according to the scholar Tigay, Israel doesn't get less rain than most agricultural places. It just gets it differently. So, the early rain is in October and November. It breaks up the cracked ground and makes it so that it can be worked. In December, January, and February, Israel gets about 70% of its rain right during the prime growing season. In April and May are the late rains. They're the things that come late and just help that last little bit of growth come, like a growth spurt right at the end. And then in June to September, it doesn't rain. So I was over there a few years ago. I was studying, as I've told, if you've been here before, you know this. Headed over to Israel to study, and they sent instructions on what to bring, what to wear. This was going to be June and July in Israel. And one of the things they pointed out, don't bring raincoats. It will not rain. It did not rain. It did not rain for 10 weeks when I was there. But those rains, those early rains and late rains, are necessary for the good crops, that you may gather in your grain and your wine and your oil, and he will give grass in your fields for your livestock. So we are in God's world, and we are God's people, and he is always with us, and he always cares for us. Even in our darkest hour, he's caring. His eyes are on us. And we should always think, when we have blessings from the Lord, we should always remember where they're from, and we should always thank him for them. But we never earn them. Israel doesn't earn them. They don't earn his blessings here. They're a gracious gift from him. He offers some things conditionally, but they're always gifts. They're never earned. And you shall eat and be full. So if you've been with us in this Deuteronomy series, you should know that there's danger in this. That there's danger in eating and being full. It's a blessing, but it's also a danger. This is from Deuteronomy 6, verses 10 to 12, the first part of verse 12. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you didn't build, with houses full of good things that you didn't fill, and cisterns that you did not hew out, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, take care lest you forget the Lord your God. There's a similar warning a couple chapters later in Deuteronomy 8. So this is now the third time in this first part of Deuteronomy. So why the reputation? We could say, well, okay, I get it. Right? I get it. I understand. You really only need to say it once. I could get it. I'm smart enough to get it the first time. So why does God say it three times? And we are in America, and we're asking, why does God need to say it three times? If there's anything it's easy to do in America, it's forget God. Nobody's got the blessings that we have. And it shows in our culture that we forget God. So the next question for your heart is this. Is your heart open? So this morning, we sang a song, Ancient Words. Pastor Randy referred to it. I'm going to refer to it also, but I'm not going to refer to the same things. I'm not going to repeat him, but here are the words. And here is the chorus. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. So that's a great chorus, isn't it? It's a great chorus. And for this question, I'm particularly interested in that line. And you heard it. We have come to you with open hearts. So what does that mean? Well, in the song, It means this, that we're ready to hear these ancient words, these holy words that have been long preserved for our walk in this world. Words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us cope. Those, right? That's what it means in this song to have an open heart. We're ready to receive them. We have come to you with open hearts. So when you hear open hearts, what do you think of besides that? Some of you might think of Lydia in Acts chapter 16. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. And the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. Is your heart open? An open heart also means something in our culture, doesn't it? If I say to you, open your heart, what does it mean? Be generous. Be loving. Be open to others. Be open to their point of view. So the word here that's translated heart in Hebrew also usually carries this idea, your mind. Open your mind. So have you ever heard of this one? Open your mind is usually thought of as a good thing. An open mind is an empty mind. The truth is that an open mind can be dangerous. And the truth is that an open heart can be dangerous. So what do I mean by that? Well, I'm going to start out here. Take care lest your heart be deceived. So whenever I see the translation, take care, I always think, that is too weak of a translation. It's a translation that can be used. But we use take care when we say goodbye. Take care. Take care of yourself. Those kind of things. So in modern English, it's just too soft. What it means is this. Guard yourselves. Guard yourselves. Lest your heart be deceived. So if you're reading ESV and New American Standard, you have deceived here. If you're reading NIV, I think actually a little bit better. Guard yourself lest your heart be enticed. If you're reading the Jewish translation of this into English, you'll get this. Guard yourselves, not the guard yourselves, they use different things there. Lest your heart be lured away. Here's a more literal translation. Guard yourselves, lest your heart be open. So what does that mean? Well, practical example for them. Here's what it means. It isn't really Yahweh that brings these rains, these late rains and early rains. It's not really him. We're the Canaanites. We've been living here for years and years and years, and we know this. Pay attention to this. Open your mind to this. This is actually controlled by Baal. People pronounce it Baal. He sends the rain when it's here. And for part of the year, he goes away. And so it doesn't rain then. It's Baal. Open your mind. Open your heart. Guard yourselves lest your heart be open and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Be careful with your open heart. Be careful with your open mind. Your open heart and your open mind can be a dangerous thing. Your open mind can deceive you. Your open mind can entice you. Your open mind can lure you away. So be careful. Guard yourselves. What does that mean for us? So if you're in this older generation, you're probably not much concerned about this one. Like I'm in this generation. We're not really confused by this argument. Well, there's not really just two genders. Open your mind. Open your heart. There are lots of them. They're not just the two that Yahweh says are there. There are many, many genders. And so it's people like you that are the problem. You're the ones that make these people suicidal. You're the ones that make them depressed. So get over it. Open your heart to them. Don't you care about them? Love these people. So, most of us, maybe most of us in the room don't even pay attention to that kind of an argument because we know better what the real situation is. But how about this one? Oh, come on. Just take a look. Just look at this. Just take a peek. Everybody does it. Nobody will know anyway. Just take a little look. There's no problem here. There's no problem with what we do. Just look. You don't have to touch. Just look. Guard yourselves, lest your heart be open. And you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Then the anger, I'm just going to read through these verses. Feel the weight of them. Then the anger of the Lord your God will be kindled against you. And he will shut up the heavens so that there will be no rain. And the earth will yield no fruit. And you will perish quickly off the good land that the Lord your God is giving you. So how do we protect ourselves from that? Well, here it is. What do you set your heart on? Or what do you set on your heart? Not what do you set your heart on. That's a different question. What do you set on your heart? So in our world, there are millions of things to put on our heart, to set on our heart, to lay up on our heart, as it's going to say in the ESV. So just, there's a million things to talk about. There's a million things to think about. There are a million things on Facebook. There are a million things on X. There are a million things on Snapchat and TikTok that you can set on your heart. You can set your heart on Fox News if you want. You can set your heart on whatever your financial advisor says. There are a million things to set on your heart. So what is it for you? Take a minute and think about that. What do you set on your own heart? Because this is the most important thing. You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart. That's the same thing as set on your heart and in your soul. So this is how we guard ourselves. This is how we close our heart to danger. This is how we keep from being deceived. This is how we keep from being enticed. This is how we keep from being lured away. This is God's plan, and there is no other way. It's just simply this. As Calvin would say, something like simple obedience. Just simple obedience to what God says. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. So this sounds a lot like, it's almost word for word, but not exactly like what comes after. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And that goes, and these words that I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. And then it's going to say basically the same things that it says here. In a different order. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Wear them on your wrist. That's what that means. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. We don't do that. We wear necklaces. Pastor Luther's got a cross on that. Do that. That's what it says to do. Do that. Do that. These words. Use these words. You shall teach them to your children. In chapter 6, it has this meaning. You shall repeat them over and over again to your children. Over and over and over and over and over again, like sharpening a knife. You make the same motion over and over and over again, and you don't stop. You shall repeat them to your children. Here, you shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house and when you're walking by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. It's a pretty simple formula. You set on your heart these things and you talk about them all the time. You never stop talking about them. So to stop from being deceived and stop to being enticed and stop to being lured away, this is what you do. This is what Jesus did, by the way. When it says he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men, what do you think that meant? He grew in wisdom from Deuteronomy. That's what it meant. He said to his parents, "You should have known I would be in my father's house." He didn't have biological children. But look what he did here. He did these things. Jesus did that. And so when the time came for his temptation, what does he do when Satan tempts him? What does he do? When the Spirit drives him into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, what does he do? Oh, just turn these loaves of bread, turn these stones into loaves of bread. What does he do? He quotes Deuteronomy. That's what he does. Jesus did this. Jesus learned Moses' words, God's words. And he survives the temptation because he loves the Lord his God with all his heart. He guarded himself and he set these words on his heart. He did it the perfect way. He did it God's way. He did it the only way that it can be done. So how do we survive it? You shall teach them diligently to your children, or you shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house, and when you're walking by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house, put them in your house, hang them on your walls, and on your gates. And here's why we do it. That your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. So that's God's plan. And there isn't another one. That's how we survive. That's how we get blessed, by doing those things. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for providing the way to guide us in this world. Pray that you'd strengthen us for the journey and give us hearts that love you. Keep your commandments because we love you. Pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.